It's time to get in the loop with LPS, the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. From the latest school and district news, updates on various district hot topics, and opportunities to meet all of those that help make LPS great. In the Loop with LPS is here to provide yet another opportunity for us to stay connected with you. So let's get started and send you to the longtime director of communications with Liberty Public Schools and your host of In the Loop with LPS, Dallas Ackerman.
We welcome everyone back. It is time for another In the Loop with LPS podcast, which is the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. You guessed it. My name is Dallas Ackerman. I'm the director of communications and so glad this month to be joined by the recently named LPS District Teacher of the Year. He is Mr. Kurt Gates, social studies teacher from Liberty North High School. We made the surprise announcement back on April the 9th, and it began, Mr. Gates, as an announcement of who won the March Madness basketball contest, and then we just quickly transitioned to naming you the District Teacher of the Year. How did you feel on that Wednesday afternoon?
Well, I was really disappointed. I didn't win my bracket. So that was Auburn was my pick, and they made it to the Final Four. So I thought I had a chance, but then they bowed out. But no, it was awesome. It was a surprise, and it was just amazing because my parents were able to come down from Nebraska and surprise me. And so that made it extra special. Being able to have my whole family there for that special occasion. So it was cool.
So what was that? Just days before, maybe the week prior, Corey Thomason, who does some great video work for us, he and I visited your classroom. So we kind of had to play this. We had to kind of fib a little bit and say, oh, we're doing this district video. Was there ever a moment during that process that you kind of thought, what are these guys up to? What is going on? Or did you buy it?
There was a little bit of a spidey sense thinking like, oh, is this part of something bigger? I mean, you never know. But I know you guys make videos all the times, and the premise that you're videoing, you know, various teachers of the year from the building level for a promo video or, you know, something for recruitment or something like that seems very sensible. That's something you guys do all the time. And so, we just have so many outstanding teachers in the district. You never think like, oh, that's going to be me or something like that. So, yeah, it was a surprise.
So for people that aren't familiar with our Teacher of the Year program, we really get this kicked off. We push information out to our principals just before the winter break. And then we come back. And each building nominates a teacher representative that will then move forward in the district competition, if you will. But the one thing that I always try to make a point of is sharing at our luncheon that's held in March is that, you know, you're nominated by your colleagues, and just what a special recognition that is alone for all of the 20 plus nominees from elementary to the ECC to Liberty Academy and our middle schools and high schools. What's that honor like for you to have the respect and admiration from your colleagues at Liberty North High School?
Yeah, that means a lot. Liberty North, I mean, just like all the buildings in our district, has so many exceptional teachers. And I can't remember the exact number of teachers who had been nominated. There were seven or eight, and every single one of them is deserving of that award. And so to be chosen out of those peers, by your peers, is really special. And, you know, I think I try not only to work within our own social studies department and connect with members there, but I've been around a long time. I'm part of they call them the OGs of Liberty North. We were there from the beginning. And so I have a lot of connections with people through the years. And I think that is something that hopefully they've seen me teach, or they've heard stories, or they, you know, I've had their kids in class. And so hopefully those kinds of things are a credit to why I was recognized.
We have quite a bit of ground to cover over the next 20, 25 minutes. And I thought we would get into hearing about your story. We love hearing stories of all of our staff across the district, and we've learned a lot about you over the last few weeks. And let's start by taking us back to the great state of Nebraska, the home of the Cornhuskers. That's, I guess, where you were born and raised.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Papillion, Nebraska, which is a suburb of Omaha, and it's very similar to Liberty in terms of demographics and growth and everything. And like I said, a suburb of a larger metropolitan area. And so born and raised there, went to the University of Nebraska, majored in secondary education. Originally thought I was going to be a business major. That's, my dad was in business, and I took accounting classes and stuff like that in high school, and wasn't sure what I really wanted to do. And so I had to declare a major. And so I just declared business. And even before I took a business class, I was like, that's not what I want to do. And so I was thinking, you know, I wanted something that I knew would feel like I'm contributing more to the community and helping out in some way. And I always had really exceptional teachers, especially in social studies. And I really enjoyed that. And so I soon realized, like, that's what I wanted to do. And so at Nebraska, majored in that. And then when I graduated, my wife, Melissa Taylor, she also is in the district. She's the district EIP coordinator. She was going to grad school for her clinical psychology. And so that took us down to Southern Illinois University, mm-hmm. down in Carbondale. And we were down there for about 5 years. And I taught at the high school there, Carbondale Community High School, and taught freshman social studies. Second year, they asked me to teach AP government. Had no idea what I was getting into, but that's been kind of one of the defining decisions of my career is taking on that class. Because then when we came to Liberty in 2001, our son was born in 2001, and we wanted to be closer to family. And in that time, Melissa decided she didn't want to get her PhD. She saw how much I was enjoying teaching. She went back and got a second degree in English education, knew she wanted to teach as well. And we just wanted to be closer to family. And so Kansas City area is kind of halfway between my family in Nebraska and her family in central Missouri. And so it just kind of worked out that that's how we got to Liberty.
That's what I was going to ask. So how did you finally get to this point where Liberty is going to be? I mean, I'm sure you're probably like I was when we first landed in Liberty. We didn't know if we were going to be here for a year, couple of years, maybe move on. And then all of a sudden we blink and here we are 25 years later.
Right. Yeah. You and I, we've been here a long time. And I remember, you know, when you were at Liberty High School helping out with their broadcast program and everything. So it's interesting. We were actually at a job fair in Lincoln, Nebraska. Because we were looking in the Omaha area and Kansas City and Columbia, just kind of looking at our options. And so we interviewed, I interviewed with Tracy Kuhn there. She was a middle school principal a long time ago. And then Melissa interviewed with Steve Fleming. And
he has a few Hester, some Husker blood, and he has some connections there.
Yes.
And so, you know, we did the perceiver, whatever they called, and they're like, why don't you come down, you know, next week and we'll have you take a tour and you can interview with some of the principals. And so it's a funny story. I reached out to a friend of mine from college who I knew was in the Kansas City area, but I couldn't remember what school he was at. And so I just emailed him and I said, hey, you know, we're going to interview. We had an interview with Park Hill, and I said, we're going to interview at Liberty. Can you tell me something about those? And he happened to actually be a teacher at Liberty. It was Fred Scretta. And he was actually it was his position. He was a social studies teacher and he was moving into administration. And so we came down a day early and he kind of gave us a tour of Liberty as a city. His wife at the time, Julie, also was in the district. And so we had a connection there. And then I got on the webpage and I started looking at the Liberty webpage and I saw Jason Cahill worked there. And Jason and I went to high school together.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually graduated same class and everything. So yeah, he was the star.
We learned something new on In the Loop with LPS.
Yeah, he was the star quarterback of the state championship.
Was he heard he could play quarterback.
Yeah, he could. And then another one of my friends from elementary school was actually working in the district, Carrie Kruger. Carrie Stover, I guess, is her married name. And she was a teacher at Lewis and Clark. And so it was kind of weird because I had a friend from elementary school, someone I knew from high school, someone from college, all in the district. And so, you know, when we interviewed and went to the middle school and the junior high and the high school, and I actually interviewed with Marty Jacobs in his office, but he was in Chicago at the time. So it was kind of weird. I was sitting at his desk on a phone call, but he was at one of the schools there taking the tour. And so I never met him face to face until later.
I almost asked if you were on a Zoom call.
No, we didn't have that, but it was, you know, that, again, throwing some names from the past, yeah. Steve Butler and John Roeder, you know, they were showing me around, great guys. And then, like I said, had a phone call with Marty over the phone there, and decided like, hey, this seems like a great community. Let's give it a shot and see. And like you said, 25 years later, still here.
Here we are.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned your wife, Melissa.
Yeah.
She was the LPS District Teacher of the Year in 11, one of my first years in this position in communications. And you guys now are kind of the official power couple of LPS. Have you heard that now as of late?
A couple of people have mentioned it, but it's really like, for me, she can't hold that over my head anymore. You know, she's always been able to say, like, she's a district teacher year. She never said that. But, and I will say, in all honesty, like, she's the best teacher. Like, she and her position is amazing because with EIP, she works with future teachers and gets them excited. And so many of her students go in there not thinking that they want to be teachers. And they walk out of there saying, this is awesome. I want to do this. And some of them realize it during the year. Some of them will come back, you know, after a year in college, and they'll reach out to her and say, hey, guess what? I changed my major. I'm going to major in education now. And, you know, we're really fortunate because we get a lot of those kids coming back now to Liberty, and that's really cool.
And we're visiting with Kurt Gates. He is the recently named LPS District Teacher of the Year. And that's an interesting topic you just bring up, because I think you and I both know, as we look around at our old stomping ground at Liberty High, as we look out this window over near and looking at that school and schools around our district, we're going to see a lot of retirements here in the coming years. And I think we're kind of getting at a crossroads. We're really going to need some energetic young teachers coming up to fill some big shoes. And I was just talking to Amy, my wife, at home a few weeks ago, and we were just talking about the pitch that needs to be made to some of these young people about why they need to get into, why it would be good for them to get into the world of education. What would be your pitch to a young, you know, maybe a student that's at that crossroads thinking of going one direction, maybe into the private sector, or maybe following in your footsteps and being a teacher?
Sure. 100% agree. I know that, you know, when I came in 2001, we had, I think, about 120 new teachers in that class. It was one of the largest ones. That was when Liberty was really growing.
Yeah.
And so you think about all those teachers 24, 25 years ago and where they're going to be in the next 5 years. Like you said, we've got a lot of teachers who are at the tail end of their career. And there is a teacher shortage in this country. And it's something that as a district, we're going to have to face. And there's going to be some challenges because we'll be competing with others. And like you said, what do we do to get people in that profession? And I think the number one answer for me is that feeling that you get almost on a daily basis in terms of you're helping these students, you're helping them learn, you're helping them grow. No day is ever the same. And that's what I like about teaching, is that there's always something new. Your quality of life, I think, is much better. Like my sister, she works, you know, kind of in the corporate field, And we're always amazed at the long hours she works, and, you know, she doesn't have as much time off, you know, for, you know, winter break or, you know, spring break. Like, you get to spend a lot more time with your family, I think, as a teacher. And there's something to be said for having that time with family, being able to be there for events, you know. You know, most days we're home for, you know, about the 4 o'clock usually is by the time we get home. So if one of our kids has an event, sports, practice, whatever, you're able to be part of that. And I think that's a big thing. So we just have to kind of convince students that, you know, yeah, you can make more money working in the private sector doing something, but I feel like the benefits you get that are maybe those non-material benefits are can be so much more rewarding.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, and something we spent a great deal of time talking about recently. And of course, Amy teaches at Lewis and Clark. She's had our son Dayton participate in the EIP program through what your wife Melissa leads, and I'm sure these young people aren't thinking about it at this time, but her big point was, are the benefits of your family and how we have pretty easy access or get to see our kids grow up at school right before our eyes. You can't put a price tag on that. And of course, now you've already had one graduate from the district. We both are having another graduate here just in the coming weeks. I think that's just pretty, that's a big selling point right there. And again, it wasn't something I was thinking about in my early to mid 20s, but now looking back, it's like, what a benefit that has been to be able to really just see them up close and personal go through the system.
Yeah, and I think you're especially right when you're looking at, we have quite a few teacher families, like, you know, both the spouses are in the district. And so you share that common time, you know, winter break, spring break, all those things. And so that's nice. And the other thing that I think is really important as a teacher is that sense of community. And when you've been in the district, you know, as long as we both have, like, you know people, you feel part of it. You see former students or family members, you know, at the grocery store or somewhere else, and you feel that sense of connection. And I think that's really important. And I think if you had a job as an accountant, no offense to accountants,
yeah,
you're not going to have as much of that interaction with the as many people in the community. And so I think for teaching, that's one of the real benefits, and living here. Like, sometimes there are definitely times where maybe I don't want to see anyone at the grocery store that I know. But for the most part, like I said, it really makes you feel this sense of belonging.
So one thing that's been brought up since your announcement, and I follow a lot of see the posts from former colleagues and students and community members. The thing that I have heard numerous times is how interesting it would have to be for you in your role with social studies and government to be in the classroom during such interesting times, let's call it, over the last several years, and how you navigate that. Could you kind of put us behind the curtain as to how you do it, and you obviously do it really well.
It has definitely been a challenge, and I would say throughout my whole career, I've been teaching government, and my number one rule has always been not to tell the students what to think, but to get them to think and think critically for themselves. And so we obviously bring in current events and discuss them, because to me, the real, I guess, joy of teaching a class like government is the relevancy for students and showing them real world examples as they're happening. Like, we can look in a textbook, but our textbook is what's happening right now. And we can talk about checks and balances, and we can talk about federalism, and we can talk about court cases. And I'm not afraid to shy away from maybe controversial topics. In fact, I feel like that's one of the things that usually gets kids engaged, like they want to talk about those things. And so even these last few years, I've started my AP government class the first week with the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. And I know, like, even Melissa questioned me. She's like, why would you start with that? Like, that seems like too sensitive. And the point is, we don't get into, are you pro-life or are you pro-choice? Like, I'm not interested in that. That's not part of our discussion, but we're able to see how all the elements that we cover in government, from elections, the appointment process, the role of interest groups and political parties, civil rights, civil liberties, all of those things, we can tie them back to a decision like Dobbs and understand how that decision was made. And so for me, it's a great way to get kids engaged. So that's my goal, is just to kind of, you know, keep it straight in terms of here's what the curriculum is and we're going to teach that, but also being able to bring in current events so that they understand and see real world examples.
So Corey Thomason, who I mentioned earlier, he does video work for us, graduated from Liberty High. He shared you were his favorite teacher when he was in high school. But as we were walking out following your interview and picking up some footage in your classroom a few weeks ago, he shared the story about how he and all of his friends used to always have this discussion about what political party is Mr. Gates on? What side of the fence is he on here? And that resonates with me so much in the fact of we have to navigate things with teachers and staff that maybe don't have kids guessing so much. Is that something that you've really put priority on over your career?
I've tried to, and it's fun sometimes playing devil's advocate. And I think that's something that the kids appreciate and hopefully family members do too. But it's fun because we'll, you know, have a discussion about whether it's the death penalty or, you know, abortion rights or whatever controversial thing. And a kid will say something and I'll question them. And then some kid will kind of say something on the other side and I'll question that kid. And they're like, well, wait a second, I thought you were arguing that point. And I'm like, I'll argue both points. Like, and to me, what's been beneficial is, again, doing this for so long, like I start getting arguments from kids that I hadn't thought about. I was like, hey, that's a really good argument. I'm going to use that next time we have that discussion. And so I feel like I'm able to learn from them. And I always tell the kids, like, when we have these discussions, it's so important to be able to listen to others, because that's a real problem we have in our society now. I think one of the civic virtues we need to promote is just open dialogue and being able to communicate with each other. And I always say that when we have these discussions, you want to listen, because the better you understand the other side's perspective, the better you'll understand your own. And that's something that I think that all teachers should try to promote in their classroom.
So you've been in the classroom now, going to be quickly almost three decades here. You hear people say all the time, oh, it wasn't like it's not like it used to be, or this. What has changed the most from your perspective, just in the classroom, from day one when you first started to earlier today when you're at North?
We have electricity now. It's
I like that.
It's obviously there's been so many changes. Technology has certainly been the biggest one. You know, when I first started my career in the mid-90s, the internet was just kind of coming on the scene.
Right.
It wasn't something that, you know, was widespread. It was obviously dial-up, and, you know, that was the beginning. And, you know, you took attendance by hand and everything, and we didn't all have a personal computer to use in the classroom. And so I think the integration of technology, the internet, and I was reflecting on this earlier with my wife, I feel like I started my career with kind of the internet as being the next big thing. And that certainly has changed students and access to information and what we can do instructionally. And as I am getting closer to the end of my career, I feel like there's another huge revolution when it comes to technology, and that's AI. And whether teachers like it or not, it's here, just like the internet, you know, 30 years ago. And so we have to embrace that and figure out how we can incorporate AI into our instruction, because I think that's really going to change a lot of what education and a lot of what, you know, everything is going to change as a result of that.
Absolutely. Kirk Gates, our recently named LPS District Teacher of the Year, our guest, have really enjoyed this conversation. Still have a few more minutes to go here. We actually don't have a lot of room in my office where we're doing this interview, because now's the time we're piling up retirement bells. And this year we're going to do Years of Service Awards in May. And it reminded me, though, earlier, we sent out questionnaires to our upcoming retirees. And one of the questions we posed was what advice you would give to someone just entering education as a first year teacher or new in the profession. And as we started thinking about it, I'm thinking I need to send these, because there's some really good answers. I'm thinking I need to send these answers upstairs to the folks that run our new teacher institute in August and maybe have them share some of those responses. But I wanted to pose that question to you. What advice would you have as an experienced, I'm going to say an experienced teacher, now Teacher of the Year, what advice from Kirk Gates to someone just entering the field of education?
I would try to get into as many classrooms as possible and observe other teachers. I think as teachers, a lot of times we are isolated, like we're teaching almost on an island in some respects, because you're in your classroom and you've got your 30 kids and you've got them all day, or, you know, for 45 minutes than another, and you don't really get a chance to watch other great teachers doing their thing. And I think even as a veteran teacher, I benefit from going and watching other teachers teach and seeing how they, whether it's an instructional strategy, whether it's a classroom management strategy, whether it's something new, technology, like you can't do this alone. You need support, and especially starting out, you just need more, you know, tools in your toolbox. And the way to get that is to see other people utilizing those. And so trying to find time, ways to watch other teachers, you know, across different grade levels, across different disciplines. For me, my first year, you know, I mentioned we went down to Illinois, and you know, Melissa didn't make that decision till April or so, as far as where she wanted to go to grad school. And so that first year, Southern Illinois, most of those jobs had already been closed. I didn't have an Illinois certificate yet. So I subbed that first year. And to me, that was maybe one of the best experiences for my growth, because I was able to be in a variety of classrooms. I saw how they had it set up. I was able to just see a lot of variety, and I was able to incorporate that when I finally had my own classroom. You know, things that I picked up on, I was like, hey, I want to do that when I have my classroom. So to me, it's just seeing others, and good teaching is just borrowing from others.
I mentioned we recognized you at the board meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I shared that night a couple of the comments that were posted on our Facebook page after your announcement, and from Doug Winkler to former students. And I'm sure you've not only had that, but you've probably had some emails come about. What's been maybe some of the most impactful words of congratulations from folks?
It's really humbling to hear from so many people, and some of the students that, like you said, posted on Facebook. You know, it's been 15, 20 years since I've had some of those students, and there were a few I had to click on the profile and see who that was, because maybe their name had changed from marriage or something like that. And so it's just special to see those comments. And you mentioned Doug Winkler, you know, his comment was very complimentary, and he was someone that I always admired. I mean, he was kind of like the true professional social studies teacher. His classroom was like a museum and everything. He had all these different artifacts, and he's someone who really had a passion for history. And so to hear from him, and Zap Werner, who was my student teacher at Liberty many years ago, like he's always been like a big supporter, cheerleader for me, and he does an outstanding job there. So just hearing from colleagues, past and present, teachers, like, it's all been great.
Yeah. So as we look now, coming down the stretch, just a few more weeks left in the school year, you have quite a privilege coming up, as you will be speaking at the Liberty North commencement ceremony coming up in May. What's that experience like? Because this won't be your first.
Now, I was fortunate. I was able to do that back in 2019 when my son Harrison graduated. And so when I was asked to do it again this year, I was really grateful because, you know, my daughter Amy is graduating along with Dayton. And so, you know, it's a great opportunity to recognize the students and their achievement and kind of impart some final wisdom to them. And so, to me, like I said, it's just really a privilege because there are a lot of those kids that I've known since they were, you know, elementary school and even some beyond that, you know, that we knew in preschool or things from dance or scouts or something like that. So to be able to see those kids grow up over these last 12, 13 years, you know, it's fun. And so I think I have a different maybe vantage point than some other teachers might have.
Have you seen the picture? I came across it. My wife was doing kind of some scrapbooking, putting some stuff on boards for our May events. And the photo that we used to take of the staff members with the newborn babies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think Amy, you and Melissa were in that, along with the Grostadiers and just different Sturtzes, I think, were in there. Where legitimately does the time go? I'm a big believer now in just that phrase.
Yeah, the days are long, but the years go fast.
You nailed it. Hey, I forgot about something here. As part of In the Loop with OPS, we do three random questions completely just off. And I actually, sometimes I'll cheat a little bit and let our guests see the questions in advance, but you think on your feet very well, so I'm confident that and if you need to take a pass, and we'll come back to it like some of those game shows. But here's question one: if Kirk Gates weren't a teacher, what would his employment be? You kind of hit on that, I think, a little bit earlier in the interview.
Yeah, like I had originally thought something business. When I was in middle school, I actually wanted to be a hotel manager because I loved traveling. I loved staying in hotels. And I thought that'd be so cool when you're older, like you'd have room service and maids would, you know, clean up after you and you go swimming in the pool. And like, I thought being a hotel manager would just basically be staying in a hotel. And that is not really how it works. So I didn't pursue that, but that at one time was a career aspiration. Maybe something, I think we talked about this at the luncheon, something with data, analytics, numbers, spreadsheets. Harrison, my son, is doing stuff with spreadsheets now. I think we both have kind of affinity for numbers, which is weird. You know, I'm not a math teacher, but I do like math and numbers.
You're a jack of all trades. Well done there. Question one. You may have done one of these kind of more adventurous things, but if given the option, if you haven't done either of these, would you skydive or deep sea dive?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've always kind of wanted to skydive, but I think I'd rather go deep sea. The ocean is both terrifying and fascinating. Mm-hmm. Like it's a whole nother world, and I think it'd be cool to kind of explore that. So we'll go deep sea diving.
For the record, I had an opportunity to go skydiving. Well, I was approached by, is it the Army that does that group? I took the chicken exit and was not allowed to by my significant
other. I was going to say, I don't think Melissa would be too keen on that idea. I would rather skydive than bungee jump, though.
I'm with you there as well.
Yeah.
Question three. I was just encouraged to ask this by some. Are you a Democrat or a Republican?
No comment.
One of my favorite phrases, by the way. Well, I tell you what, Kurt, it's been great talking to you. We've gone over the half hour mark. I didn't think we would not have any trouble being able to fill time. It's been so much fun to be able to get to know you even more. As you mentioned, gosh, we've known each other over the years now for going on, coming up on 25 years, I guess. But you are so well deserving of this honor, and you represent all of our teachers and our district so well. And we'll look forward to hearing more from you in various venues, and whether it be a T-Mobile Center speaking to the graduating class at 25. I'm sure we'll work you into our convocation event coming up in August, and so much more. But appreciate you, sir.
Well, thank you for having me, and appreciate you, and appreciate everything you guys do for the district.
Kerr Gates, he is our 2025-2026 Liberty Public Schools District Teacher of the Year. Again, thanks for listening this month, and we'll look forward to talking again as we get set to close out this, the 24-25 school year in Liberty Public Schools.
Thanks for choosing to spend a few minutes with us and getting in the loop with LPS. Don't forget, you can also stay in the loop with us by following Liberty Public Schools on our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and by downloading our LPS mobile app for that mobile-friendly experience. This has been a production of the Liberty Public Schools Communications Office. For more about this podcast and all you need to know about LPS, visit our website at www.lps53.org.